item two.
Except comments from the public.
The podium would be great, the microphone there.
Hello. Good morning. My name is Mr. Pegday. I'm a researcher with Unite Here, the Hotel and Food Service Workers Union. I'm here today with concerns about the Contra Costa County Employees Retirement Association investment with the real estate manager, Angela Gordon & Company. As you may know, Sarah is the largest limited partner in Angela Gordon & Co., AG Realty Fund 8 LP. So what's getting passed around is my testimony, as well as on the back is a map of the investment map. I'm specifically here because Angela Gordon & Co. and an operating partner plan to convert Chicago's historic London Guarantee building into a 450-room luxury hotel. According to the zoning application submitted to the City of Chicago, Sarah is one of the largest investors in this hotel project. I've highlighted that in pink. Unite Here Local 1 represents more than 15,000 hospitality workers in the Chicago area. Local 1 members are at the heart of Chicago's hospitality industry, working in some of Chicago's most iconic hotels. We are a union of housekeepers, cooks, bartenders, bellmen, servers, and dishwashers. Local 1 is an affiliate of Unite Here, which represents approximately 300,000 hotel, food service, and gaming workers around the country and Canada. As Chicago's hotel industry grows, numerous hotel developers have sought to prevent labor disruptions by obtaining labor peace agreements with Unite Here Local 1. Despite this precedent, Angela Gordon and Co. and its partners have not obtained labor peace agreements for the London Guarantee Hotel. So Unite Here strongly urges Sarah, as a limited partner at Angela Gordon and Co., AG Realty Fund 8, to ask Angela Gordon and Co. the following questions about the London Guarantee Hotel project. One, how would a strike, work stoppage, or boycott at the London Guarantee Hotel affect Sarah's investment? How would Angela Gordon & Co. mitigate headline risks by creating a labor disruption at the London Guarantee Hotel or other properties? Why is Angela Gordon & Co. refusing to have a conversation about labor peace at this project? And would Angela Gordon & Co. consider putting in place a labor peace agreement to prevent labor disruptions, boycotts, et cetera, at this hotel? I don't know what the protocol around questions are, but I am available. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Karen? I'm interested, what does a labor peace agreement mean? I know what other things are, but what is it that you're looking for in a labor peace agreement?
It is a agreement between the developer in this case and the union that says there will be no intimidation, there will be no work stoppages, there will be no economic disruptions to this hotel.
But does that mean that the labor organization can come in and organize without? These are already organized workers.
These are not organized workers.
Okay, so you want the ability to come in and try and organize the workers.
I think the goal is to have, in that half-mile radius, there's about 11 union hotels already with 2,400 unionized hospitality workers, and to not provide the same sort of opportunities for workers to join a union without intimidation at this hotel, which is at the epicenter of union activity in Chicago, is
okay, so
interesting.
It's the ability to go in and organize without intimidation.
Yeah.
Okay, I know what we're doing in California. I just needed to know about Illinois. So mm-hmm. It's not a project labor agreement about building or anything.
This is about operations.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Deborah?
Wouldn't that operation agreement be something you would negotiate with the person running, the company running the hotel?
So
I don't think Angela Gordon's running the hotel.
Angela Gordon has partnered with a company called Oxford Capital, and they are figuring out the operations of the hotel. We've tried to reach out to them over the last year and a half, since August 2013, and we have not gotten any response from them. So we do believe that Angela Gordon is the decision maker here and should at least be in conversation with us.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would agree with that, but okay, thank you.
Question, have you actually read the proposed labor peace agreement that you're advocating here?
I am coming here on behalf of Local 1. I have not read it, but Sarah Lyons and Jim Baker, Sarah Lyons' contact information is on that sheet of paper. She's read this.
So you haven't seen that agreement?
Personally, I have not.
Are you familiar with the City of Los Angeles requirements for labor peace agreements? Have you read those?
I have read multiple labor peace agreements, yes.
Are you familiar with the City of Los Angeles?
Not specifically Los Angeles, but certainly in the Bay Area, Texas, and Oregon.
Okay. So are you generally familiar with the idea that labor peace agreements do not obligate the signer to enter into a collective bargaining agreement with one or more organizations?
What they do is provide a opportunity for the union to not, for workers to join a union without intimidation, and that is a process in which workers are able to, it looks like a lot of different things. People can sign a card, people can do lots of different things, but I don't think I totally understand your question. Can you rephrase it?
Well, I'll tell you what I know about labor peace agreements relative to what you're asking or suggesting here. Labor peace agreements, as I understand them in the state of California, are contractual obligations that, if signed by a developer or a permittee, obligate that person to foreclose any work stoppage, interruption, secondary action, anything that would disrupt the main business at hand, but do not require entry into a collective bargaining agreement.
That's exactly what it is.
Do you have the same understanding?
Yes. That is exactly what it is.
So I guess I'm a little unclear on what that has to do with whether or not persons can organize, which under at least the California iteration of these agreements I'm familiar with, has nothing to do with the question of the labor peace agreement.
So the joining a union is different from having a collective bargaining unit. So in the process of workers trying to join a union, it basically says that there will be no boycotts or anything encumbering the operations, because it'll be a peaceful process. And that once workers decide to join a union, there will be a process to negotiate a collective bargaining agreement. If workers decide not to join a union, then that's completely off the table, the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, I think we probably have a little different understanding of what at least the California iterations of these agreements look like and actually require. It just seems to me that at least the one I'm most recently familiar with it is a contractual obligation to not have any labor interruption period. In other words, if you're under a collective bargaining agreement, if you're a business that has one or more units that are already organized, you absolutely unequivocally commit contractually that there will be no work stoppages of any kind, period, end of story.
Yeah, with a labor peace agreement.
Right.
Yes.
So it's a contractual commitment. It's a constraining device in that it makes a strike or a work stoppage a breach of that agreement, yes?
If there is a labor peace agreement in place, yes.
Okay. So I'm just trying to understand if that's the kind and type of agreement you're advocating for the Illinois operation.
That's exactly it.
Okay. Thanks.
If you have more questions after I leave, Sarah Lyons, again, her contact information is on the bottom of my testimony. Please feel free to contact her. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Comment. Item